Turning your Bibles today to Job chapter 3. Maybe the title will be appropriate. You know what I'm preaching on this morning? The blessings of trouble. That doesn't sound right, does it? The blessings of trouble. That's my title this morning of the message, The Blessings of Trouble. I think I can prove the point that troubles can be a blessing. Now, We have trouble even placing our mind around that, don't we? But in Job chapter 3, verse number 23, the Bible says, "Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in?" Now, would you please look with me in chapter 3, verse number 26. Job says, "I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came." Yet trouble came. What a statement. In fact, I started just to preach on that thought, yet trouble came. We'll come back to that in just a moment, but let's pray. Father, we come to you in prayer this morning. We thank you, dear Lord, for the music, and thank you for the morning service, the Sunday school hour, the messages in Sunday school. Thank you now, Father, for the opportunity to open your precious word. We pray for every request mentioned this morning as was shared and as was prayed for early. Now, Lord, I just pray now that you'll help us to understand more about the significance and even the blessing of trouble. Lord, I pray that you will help me now to be a blessing as we desire to preach this message and encourage and speak to hearts today. If there's someone here that's troubled in the worst kind of a way, troubled by sin, may they today receive the Savior and know the grace of God in forgiveness. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Job is a fascinating book in many, many ways. The book of Job is the book of the Bible that is upheld as the classic book which has to do with suffering, which has to do with the troubles that come in the lives of God's people. Job lived a godly life. Job lived a good life. Job lived a graced life, but trouble came. What Job endured was horrible. But what Job learned was priceless. And I'd sort of pause my speaking for just a moment for us to ponder that point. What Job endured was horrible, but what he learned was priceless. We can learn much in troubles. Verse number 23 of the same chapter. Notice again the verse, and let me attempt to explain the verse in the way I believe that the verse fits into the context of what is being said. He said, "Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in?" The verse itself seems a little problematic to understand what is being said, what Job is being said. But we find out in studying this verse that the verse could be paraphrased perhaps this way. Job could perhaps be saying, and I think he is, "Why does God even permit life?" You see, he talks about light, the light of life, for example. Why is the light of life given? Why does God even permit life when one is in such a state of trouble and hedged in by God? Job is saying, why? Why is life even given since I have to be troubled like I'm being troubled? Why do I even have life given in the first place? And furthermore, Job said it, and I feel like I'm hedged in by God. Have you ever felt like you've been hedged in? Have you ever felt like you're kind of in a corner? You can't get out of a situation. You're hedged in. Job is saying, why do I even have life, considering my troubles, my problems, and it's even like I'm even hedged in? I believe that's what the patriarch is saying. Why is the light of life given to the troubled? You see, many people cannot understand that. Many people jump too quickly and even end their lives. Many people get to the place where they're saying, why am I even living? There's no purpose in my life. So I'll just take my life. And suicides, of course, are on the increase in every way. Many people cannot cope with the problems of life. But the question is, why is the light of life given to the troubled? Why am I allowed to live life if I can't enjoy it? Basically that. Why am I allowed to live life if I can't enjoy it? Many people physically can't enjoy their life in the physical sense because they're suffering, because there's pain, because there's trial, there's tribulation. Many people struggle at enjoying life from that particular standpoint, from the aspect of the physical. You know, we do better if we know the answers to questions, don't we? Let me prove that with an illustration. Sometimes when we get sick, we want to know why we're sick. If we come down with a cold, we want to know why did I get the cold. If we wind up with cancer, we want to know why did I get cancer. It seems like we do better in life if we can know the answer to questions. One of the biggest frustrations of life is not being able to figure things out. We can't understand. The lack of understanding only increases the aggravations of troubles. Why? Little boy one day asked his dad, he said, why are the cows in the corn? And his father said, son, don't worry how they got there, just get them out. Pretty good advice. Some things were better off not sitting around studying and necessarily trying to figure out why they happened. Just go ahead and do the thing that needs to be done in terms of what has to be done. You know, value is determined many times by usefulness. Job had questions which were troubling, but yet understand something. We can understand why Job was troubled by some of these questions that he asked. We can understand it perhaps because Job was in a situation where you and I are not, we're not in that situation. Here's what I mean by that. Do you realize that Job, as he raised these questions, as he had these troubles, we can figure he had a reason to, because Job was living on the other side of the completed Word of God. Here's what I mean by that. You see, you and I know some answers that Job didn't know. Why? We have the Bible. Job didn't have the Bible. The book of Job has been considered by scholars to be perhaps the earliest book in the Bible, the oldest book in the Bible. Job was a patriarch. Job did not have the complete Word of God. You and I have the Bible. We can read in the Bible. You know, here's the thing. We know, why do we have trouble? Troubles come because there's sin. Why do we have sin? Because of Adam. Adam fell. Adam introduced the human race to sin. You and I inherited his fallen nature. And troubles are a companion many times to sin. So we know why we have troubles, because we're sinners. But now I'm approaching this from a different way today. I believe that troubles can be a blessing though. Troubles can be a blessing. Again I say, value is determined by usefulness. My point that I'm making at this time is this: troubles can be a blessing because troubles can be useful. Troubles can help us. Troubles can make us better. Troubles can teach us. Troubles can show us some valuable lessons of life. M.R. DeHaan, great Bible teacher, gave the illustration to communicate value. He said you can take a bar of steel, just a bar of plain old steel, worth $5. You can take that bar of steel and you can turn it into things that are useful that increase the value of it. For example, you can take that $5 bar of steel, you can turn it into horseshoes, and you can make it worth $10. You can take that bar of steel, you can manufacture needles, and you can have the value of $350. You can take that $5 bar of steel, and you can use it to create delicate springs that make up expensive watches, and you can change the value of it to where it could yield $250,000. A $10 bar of steel can result in a $250,000 return. Value. Value. Troubles can be beneficial because troubles can have value. Job lived a good and godly life. Still troubles came. His life was a life that was blessed and graced by God, but still yet troubles stalked his life. Children died. Health gone. Resources destroyed. His wife was no support for him. All of that hit the patriarch Job. Troubles came. He was living godly. He was a person that had character. He was doing the right thing, but troubles came. Satan came. The devil said that Job is serving God for what he can get out of it, basically. In other words, take away his things. Take away his advantages, and he'll curse God. The devil was proven to be a liar, wasn't he? It turned out that Job's character came to the forefront. And Job ends up by saying, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Troubles. Talking about troubles. Is it just me? Or I'm sort of sensing it today that there seems to be a little bit of a... I don't know. Y'all seem so serious-minded right now for some reason. I know we need to be in church. But, you know, lighten up a little bit. Joy life, only one life, soon be gone. I'm not going to quote the poem. Lighten up a little bit. Think about it. Well, let me give you an example of what I'm saying here. Talk about troubles. Young boy was driving a hay rack down the road, turned the wagon over in front of a farmer's house. Little boy was crying. The farmer comes out and says, son, don't worry about it. We can fix it. He said, son, he said, tell you what you do. He said, you come in the house. He said, and eat a good meal with us, and you'll feel better. Little boy said, mister, my daddy will be mad at me, though. And the man said, come on in, eat with us. He said, we'll fix it later on. He said, don't worry about it right now. So the little boy goes in, and he eats with the farmer. Farmer looks at him and says, now, son, don't you feel a lot better? Little boy said, yes, I appreciate the meal, but he said, my daddy is still going to be mad at me. And then the farmer looks at the little boy. He said, well, son, he said, really? He said, now, where is your daddy? He said, he's under the wagon. That was trouble, wasn't it? You know, we can live godly, but troubles are still going to come. What about Daniel? Daniel lived godly. Look what he went through. Lion's den, if you will. What about the three Hebrew children? They lived godly. Look what happened to them. Look what happened to them. Troubles came. Our problem is this. We create many of our troubles. In other words, many things that we go through in life, we bring on ourselves, though. They are what we could call self-inflicted. Here's a self-inflicted trouble. We sit around worrying about dying. We sit around worrying about having a disease. We sit around worrying about what someone might be thinking. We sit around worried about how something might be happening. And when in reality, we can't control it. That's a self-inflicted trouble. Mark Twain put it like this. He said, I've been through terrible things in my life, some of which actually happened. That's what we're saying. Job's troubles helped him, for he learned lessons about the person of God, the purposes of God, and the power of God. He learned that no area is safe from difficulty or disruption. He learned that God's purposes in trial is not to break us, but to grow us. He learned that God's purposes and plans for our lives are far beyond our comprehension. He learned that God is absolutely sovereign in all of life. Nothing happens to us without God's permission. Nothing. He learned that in the end, all things worked out right. The Bible is clear when it tells us the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. All things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. The blessings of trouble. Quickly this morning, I present this to you, this thought. Troubles are a blessing in that oftentimes they're intruding like a thief, but yet God is attempting to do something in our lives. Troubles terrify and discourage us sometimes. Troubles can be a discouragement. And by the way, discouragement is a killer to many people. Discouragement takes down the strongest. Discouragement knocks the strongest off of their balance if they're not careful. Discouragement is one of the greatest killers in churches. Discouragement can come in and can sweep us off of our feet and can leave us helpless if we're not careful. There's an old legend told about the devil one time that had several items up for sale. He was having a garage sale, so to speak. Each item was marked with a price, included on the list of items he was selling was hatred, envy, jealousy, lying, pride, several other items. But there was one item that was extremely priced high. A buyer pointed out the item and asked the devil, "What is the name of that item?" The devil said, "It's discouragement." The buyer said, "Why do you have it priced so high?" The devil said, "Because it's the most useful item in my tool chest. It was a badly worn item, but it had the highest price tag attached to it, and discouragement is, I believe, one of the greatest tools the devil uses to drive God's people down and to keep us from being effective." You know that discouragement will keep us from doing what we need to be doing. Discouragement will keep us from being effective. Discouragement just hinders in more ways than one. Plain old discouragement. And the devil promotes that too. He honestly does. But the value, the blessing of trouble. Number two, troubles are instructional. They're intruding, yes. They're instructional. Preacher, what do you mean instructional? They teach. Troubles teach. What is instruction? Instruction is teaching. Troubles teach. Troubles teach many good things. Troubles give lessons. Troubles teach lessons about fellow human care, for one thing. Troubles. Example, please. Here it is. West Virginia flood. Troubles. People in West Virginia got homes washed out, lives lost. When you say that's trouble, yes it is. What happened? People came to the rescue. States helped. Vehicles, bulldozers, equipment from states all around came there. And they've got that city pretty well restored to It's amazing the resilience and how that city now looks the way it did a month or two ago. Human care. People pitched in like our church. Troubles can be a blessing in the sense that troubles can generate plain old genuine human care for each other. Works that way. And God would have us to care about each other, love each other, help each other, be good neighbors. But sometimes trouble, it takes troubles to generate our being a good neighbor. Blessing of trouble. What about this one? Troubles draw people together. Troubles are beneficial because they teach human frailty. Human frailty. Troubles show our mortality. Troubles reveal life's real resources. Troubles helps us to understand what life is all about. Troubles help us to realize we're mortals. We're living a brief time. We're approaching eternity. We're weak and we're frail. Troubles show us human frailty. Here's the thing this morning. I believe that God's people need to learn human frailty. We need to learn our weakness. We need to understand our frame. We need to understand this morning we're weak creatures that need God every day. Troubles show us our weakness. It is a fact of life. God can't use proud, arrogant people. On the other hand, when God can strip us of pride and bring us to the end of ourselves and help us to realize how weak and frail we are, then God can use us then. Troubles work towards that end. Troubles are beneficial. The blessings of troubles. Troubles are intruding. Troubles are instructional. And troubles are inspirational. Inspirational. Troubles in our lives promote sanctification and increase spirituality. Psalmist said, actually, the Bible says, Psalmist, before I was afflicted, notice this, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Troubles are inspirational. Troubles cause us to depend upon the Bible. Troubles cause us to trust God. Troubles promote our sanctification. Troubles draw people from the Lord or to the Lord. Troubles draw people to the Lord. I can tell you this. I've seen people saved down through the years where God knocked the prop out from under their feet. And they didn't have anything to stand on, basically. Maybe their health got swept away. Maybe they were in a major accident. Maybe some other major upheaval occurred in their life. And I've seen that God use that to bring people to the Lord. I suspicion this. If the prodigal had not reached bankruptcy in a far country, he may have stayed in the far country. Took bankruptcy. Financial crisis. Health issues. Tragedies, accidents have been used of God to bring people to the Lord. Now, I don't recommend that, though. I don't recommend having to go through extreme measures to be brought to God. The best way is to simply come to Jesus Christ like a child and trust Him and be saved and get on with living a life for the Lord. Why should a person have to be crushed and bruised down? But I'll tell you something, the soul of a human is so valuable that God sometimes will bring them down to where they can look no other way but up. And in the end, it's still going to be cause for rejoicing when we get to heaven. It's still going to be cause of joy. I feel this way. I believe when we get to heaven, we'll realize then that living with the Lord, being in glory, serving God, was worth every single ounce and every inch of the way, including every trouble we went through, if that got us closer to God. We're going to find out then the blessings of trouble. Trouble draws people to the Lord. Now, the prophet said, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Some people have been chosen in the furnace of affliction. My friend, Brother Calvin Adams, one time looked up, and all he could see was an automobile on the top of him that he had just wrecked, and the car had turned over on him. And as he looked up, just knowing that his life was about to leave him, he told the Lord God at that point of time, "Lord, if you'll just let me live, I'll serve you with my life." Brother Calvin had made that commitment years ago. I think he said his testimony had forgotten about it or something. But now that accident reminds him of a commitment that he had made that he had not kept. But God brought him through with that, and he's been a faithful preacher of the gospel now for many, many years, and one of my best friends. I was fellowship with him yesterday as we went to Dr. Hull Bowman's funeral. But I'm saying today that troubles can be a blessing because they're inspirational. God didn't keep Daniel from the lion's den. God didn't keep Paul from being shipwrecked. God didn't keep Joseph out of prison. But we all know what God did with those three people. Troubles draw us to church. Troubles drive us to prayer. People with troubles pray. It's a shame, but it takes troubles to make us pray many times. I've noticed it's not too hard to... I've noticed when we really get sick, it's amazing how we turn on our prayer life. How we want people to pray for us. Why does it have to be that before we pray? We ought to be, you know, somebody said somebody put it this way. They said the more that we sweat in peace, the less we will bleed in war. While our health is good, while we can move about, this is a time we also need to be praying and trusting and serving. Why do we have to have the props knocked out from under us before we turn on our prayer life? Little boy one time was praying for $100. He just decided he was going to write a letter to God. Little boy addressed the envelope, "Dear God." The postal clerk saw it, and he was impressed. The postal clerk must have been a friend to Washington and knew the president. And the president happened to be President Bill Clinton. And so the postal clerk was so impressed with that little boy's letter, he's wanting $100, and he had it addressed to God. "Dear God, need $100. Would you give me $100? So the postal clerk gave it to President Bill Clinton. And President Bill Clinton was impressed with the letter. He instructed his secretary to send the boy $5. Thinking that would appear to be a lot of money for such a little boy. But the little boy received the money. He was excited about it. He sat down. He wrote a thank you note back to God. He said, "Dear God," he said, "thank you for sending me the money. But for some reason you had to send it through Washington, D.C. And as usual, those knotheads deducted $95. Isn't that the way Washington operates? You know, troubles are a blessing, though. Troubles inspire patience. Troubles make us more patient, more disciplined. Tribulation worketh patience. It's in the Bible. Let me give you an example. We need patience. We need stability. We need backbone to serve God. Troubles can cause that to happen. You can take two pine trees. One pine tree from South Carolina. Then you can take a pine tree from Pennsylvania. Here's what you have. The pine tree in South Carolina grows faster because the climate is more mild. It'll grow faster. But the pine tree from Pennsylvania will have the strongest lumber because it grows slower, but it'll still be stronger. You know, in a sense, that speaks of the Christian life. Through struggling, through troubles, through problems, our character can be developed. You see, the mushroom growth won't work. I've known people that are like a mushroom that seems like they're just growing in a great big hurry. But then that's the type of a person when troubles come, it'll sweep them off of their feet, and the next thing you know, they get knocked down. But I'll tell you, you grow slowly and surely, trusting God as you go and letting difficulties and problems of life help temper you and make you better. You'll become a stronger Christian. Do not despise the days of trouble. Realize that God, as He would mature His people, also uses the ingredients of troubles and problems because that causes us to see how weak we are and how big God is, and we'll pray more and trust God more and believe God more, and that's what He wants. That's what He wants. Troubles can inspire us to see life in light of eternity. Troubles, even if it comes to the matter of God chastening, troubles can cause us to understand, though, that God still is chastening in love. And even when He chastens us, yes, that's trouble, but yet He's doing so in love. And there's a key to something here. When I was a kid, I got pounded on a few times by my parents. My mother mostly was a disciplinarian in our home. But I learned a lesson. When Mom was whipping me with a belt, with a switch, or whatever she used, my mother was just a little old short Irish woman. She didn't have to have a half-angled way of getting our attention. She'd just sometimes just pick up the closest item she had. Rolling pin. Now, she wasn't brutal, don't get me wrong. But I learned this. When Mom would whip me, the closer I'd get to her, the less I'd feel the blow. Because what happens? When you back off at a distance, you've got more arm length. And that switch can really be painful. But the closer you get, the less the hurt. And I believe that applies to God's people. I rejoice in that. Even when the Heavenly Father whips us, just get close to Him. You'll handle it a lot better. My boy one time said something to me when he was a little kid that crushed my heart. I'll never forget it. I was giving him a whipping. He said, "Dad, I love you." You talking about disarming a parent in a hurry. You let a child tell you they love you when you're whipping them, you'll back off in a hurry. I think a key to the Christian life is to just love the Lord more. Many people in life, it seemed like they want to be distinguished more by what they're against. And God only knows we need to be against things too, because we have to have standards. But I believe what defines the Christian life the most is not necessarily what we're against, but what we're for. What about this? That person, it's not the fact that they're against all these different things, but no, they just love the Lord. They just love the Lord. You can't beat loving the Lord. You know, troubles can cause us to see that God does love us, because only a loving Father will chasten us. And a parent worth their salt, when they whip their kids, they do so in love anyway. And even when God whips us, He's telling us more. Every time He whips us, "I love you, I love you, I love you." And even the whipping shows He loves us. Troubles are a blessing. I want to close with the thought, and I see the time just like you all do. But it says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but to things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. My friend, today in closing, yes, I believe troubles are a blessing. And I close with this thought. Job said, why would you let me live since I've been boxed in the corner, since I'm going through troubles? Here's my closing thought. Why do we live with troubles? Well, the blessings of life outweighs the burdens of trouble, number one. Number two, the purpose of life outweighs the plight of troubles. Purpose, glorify God anyway. Number three, for the Christian, the character of life outweighs the cross of trouble. Jesus said, I come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant life. We've got that anyway. If all I thought that I had to look forward to in my entire life was just this life, I'd be of all men most miserable than today. But thank God I latched in onto something that, like many of you have done, that'll do me for eternity. And even when troubles come, I can be reminded of the fact this life is temporal and the best is yet to come when I see my Redeemer at last.